Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hello, survivors. Welcome to season 3 of Survival Jobs, a podcast in collaboration with Broadway World and Broadway Podcast Network, a show where we speak with creatives from different fields of the entertainment industry that we admire about their artistic journeys. My name is Jason A. Coombs, and this is my wonderful, amazing, beautiful, mega-talented event planner of the year, podcast queen, Samantha Dawn Titsolo.
Hi, Jason. Event planner of the year made me laugh. Depends on who you ask. Happy season 3. I can't believe we've finally made it. I feel like we've been planning and talking and thinking about season 3 for so long, and we're here. We did it.
80 episodes later. Our season 2 is so long, but so great.
And our season 2 was 2 years long, actually. It actually almost was, which, fun. Who cares? We can do, you know, this is our show. We had such a busy year last year. We had to take a few hiatuses, but we're back and we're ready and we're better than ever, people.
Facts. Speaking of that, it's been a minute since we've had a full episode, since the end of September. We've done our bonus content from the red carpets and whatnot, but fill me in, Samantha. What's your temperature check? How are you feeling? It's 2024. It's about to be spring. It's Women's History Month.
Yes, it is.
How are you feeling?
Well, in this exact moment, Jason, I am still so tired from our launch party, which we'll talk about a little bit. We have to, because it was so amazing. It was so unbelievable. I'm so tired, but I'm also filled with so much happiness. I felt like we were so supported and uplifted that night that it's just been endless joy. So right now I'm filled with joy. I'm tired, but I'm really, really, really excited for our season 3 and to see what other carpets we do and see how we expand as hosts and our brand. I think there's a lot in front of us, and I'm just tired, excited, happy. That's my temperature check. What is yours?
I think that equals overwhelmed with gratitude, right? I think we're just like so ecstatic to be here and to have that support. I mean, I guess we could talk about the party, how amazing it was. Have that support from all our friends and our peers and the Broadway community that came in to support us. I thought that was so wonderful and so appreciated. And it was so big, Samantha. It was like bigger than season 2, which obviously it's a new season, but I just couldn't. I walked in there and I was like, you know, feeling a little overwhelmed. And I was like, wow, like we did this, right?
That's what I kept saying all night. And when I would like take a minute to like step out of the chaos of it all, organized, beautiful, exciting chaos, but it was chaos. I would sometimes take myself out of it and look around and say, oh my God, like we built this from nothing. And so I think that's really beautiful during the pandemic. I do want to take a minute to shout out. We are so lucky. We had so many amazing sponsors and vendors and donations. So if I could just take a minute and shout them out.
Take 3 minutes. They deserve it.
12. our dessert donors, we got donations from Angela Mia, an Italian bakery in Norwalk that I grew up at, that I love, amazing Italian cookies. So thank you to Angela Mia in Norwalk, Connecticut. Check them out. We also got amazing donations from Baked by Melissa. Hello, Iconic Baked by Melissa. I was popping those cupcakes in my mouth. Like, I didn't even know how many. They're so good. Levain Cookies donated as well. And if you're a New Yorker, of course, you know Levain. Unbelievable. So thank you so much to our dessert donations.
Gooey,
huge cookies.
Amazing. Oh, I just want to have some oat milk to go.
Delicioso. And then we want to shout out Nico Booths. They donated this amazing telephone that you can pick up and leave a message on, and it also was attached to an iPad. So we're going to get some amazing content from that, from our guests who are like maybe having some drinks and picking up the phone. So I cannot wait to see that. Our amazing venue, BEA on 43rd Street. I've been going to this restaurant since I moved to New York City, 12 years ago. I love this spot. Brian at BEA, so generous, donated some apps, the amazing ricotta crostinis, the pizza, the veggie rolls, the space. He and the staff were just above and beyond. So, so generous and thoughtful, and we're so lucky. And lastly, Jay, I'll let you talk about Jade and her company because she really came in hot.
Yeah, our friend Jade, who has her own event coordination production, Ravens Hollow. She does amazing events for big brands all over the world. And we're so fortunate that she decided to support us and donate her time and her services to make our party look really cool. So grateful for that as well. And she's amazing. Jade Rojas. Go find her online. I wish I had a website. We'll put that in our show notes so we can do that for her. And we need a party planned. Samantha's a party planning queen as well, but Jade knows how to go down.
Jade knocked my socks off. She showed up with the florals, with props. Mm-hmm. She had such a vision that just surpassed, anything I could have envisioned. It's so hard when you're in it as well, right? Like, of course, yeah. I do have the event planner background and I had some thoughts of what I thought this should look like, but it's so hard when it is your event as well. So to have another person come in and be like, you take a step back, I got it. And such a beautiful way. She was, I can't sing her praises enough. So thank you to literal everyone.
Yeah, the attention to detail. We sent her our graphic, our cute little cartoon, and there's a typewriter on there, which I never even think about anymore because I'm so used to the phone and you holding the martini glasses. And she had all these typewriters there as part of the ambiance, and it fits so well in BEA. Like, it was just such a great joint venture, right? To have Jay's designs there and have that space. Like, it was truly incredible. Truly incredible. And also, we should shout out our fellow people on the red carpet who were there supporting us as well, Samantha, right?
Yes. So thank you to Robert Bannon from Broadway World, from Broadway Podcast Network. Check him out. Jason, maybe we can drop his graphic of his handle here so people can see. To Alan Seals from the Broadway Podcast Network, who ran our video and audio. We jumped in for interviews, but then also handled the interviews when we were really overwhelmed. Broadway World, we love Joey. We love Katie Lynch, who, check out her show. She's not bumping out new episodes anymore, but she has a ton of episodes on Broadway World. It's called The Backstage Bite. Those shows were iconic. And Nicole from Broadway World, thank you for showing up and your support. And Jennifer for taking amazing photos. So in conclusion, we're so lucky. And we had so much support. And so what a way to kick off season 3. And here's going to be your first episode, people.
Yes, here we are. So, Jonathan Bennett, Samantha.
Iconic. Jonathan Bennett. So, Jason manifested us opening the season with Jonathan Bennett in December, or whenever he was announced to go into Spamalot, Jason was like, he's opening our season 3. And I think that day, somebody reached out to us and was from BPN and was like, hey, do you want to have him on your show? Something like that happened where it was just like the universe and the thoughts all worked out. What a great guest. What a fun guy. Obviously, Jason and I are super millennials. So we grew up on the Mean Girls movie. So like Aaron Samuels kicking off our season, like give us a break. Okay. So it was amazing.
I've seen that movie literally probably 1,000 times. Like that's like a movie that I will, Mean Girls, right? That I will watch for comfort. I remember like when I moved to New York or when I switched apartments in New York, really quick 30-second story, but I had moved in before my roommates did, and I was in this apartment alone with no cable, no internet, no nothing, and I just put Mean Girls on for that first week. Like, every night I just watch Mean Girls. It's such a comfort for me. So to be able to sit down with somebody who I admire so much, and I think he has the kind of career that I don't want to speak for you, Samantha, but, you know, he does TV and film, and he hosts like we do. So to have someone that kind of does what we want to do more of was really cool as well.
And he made his Broadway debut in Spamalot, and you guys have, I think, 5 weeks. They just announced they are going to close in the next 5 weeks, something like that. Run. Jonathan is amazing in this show. The show is pure joy. We're talking about joy today and being filled with happiness. You will not leave that theater not being filled with joy and happiness. So run, run, run. Do not miss your shot. Do not miss this production. And do not miss Jonathan Bennett. What a star. Well, we'll have him back on Broadway soon, of course. He's too amazing and too talented to not be back on Broadway soon.
Should we do his bio?
Yes. I will kick it off. I haven't heard you tell me that in a long time. How exciting. Yes. Okay, Jonathan David Bennett is an American actor and television host. He is known for his roles as Aaron Samuels in the 2004 comedy film Mean Girls, Bud McNulty in 2005's Cheaper by the Dozen, the title character in the 2009 direct-to-DV comedy Van Wilder, Freshman Year, and his reoccurring role as Casey Grant in the mystery drama Veronica Mars.
Yes, he was the host of the Food Network series Halloween Wars, and he previously hosted Cake Wars. And he made his Broadway debut, like we said, in Spamalot on January 23rd, 2024, playing Sir Robin, Guard One, and Brother Maynard. So congratulations to him for making his Broadway debut. He talks about that journey in this episode too, which is really cool. And thank you all for tuning in. And we're back, y'all. We're back. Follow us. Support us. Thank you.
Buckle up for a really fun season 3. This Broadway spring season is jam-packed with new shows. And so we are going to be busy getting all those guests.
We ready. We out here.
We are out here. Bye. Enjoy season 3, people. People.
Survivors.
Hi, Jonathan. Welcome to Survival Jobs, a podcast. We're so happy to have you.
Hello, Survival Jobs, a podcast.
Yeah.
I mean, I knew they were jobs. I didn't know they were also a podcast.
They're everything. A survival job can be anything we want it to be.
A podcast itself is a survival job.
You know, it sure is.
It's another way to make money.
It sure is. And we were just chatting about how much work it does take. So thank you for saying that.
Bless you. Because everyone watching doesn't realize how much work a podcast is. They just put it on their headphones and they listen to it. And they don't realize what goes into making a podcast happen.
Exactly.
It's booking the guests. It's having the time to record. It's making the document. It's doing the research. Much.
The Instagram. So much. The social media of it all is like a job in itself.
You're welcome, America.
You're welcome, America, and globally. We have listeners, so hello to the whole world.
Come on, UK.
So I don't know if you noticed, Jason and I are pink. Why? And I just we didn't want to be left out. We know that the Spamalot cast dressed in Mean Girls attire to welcome you. So we just wanted to keep the theme going and welcome you with the pink. So
thank you.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So you're making your Broadway debut in Spamalot. Congratulations. We're going to talk so much about Spamalot, but we want to start off with the theme of the show, which is survival jobs. Mm-hmm. So do you have a survival job or a moment in your life where you were doing something to survive that's maybe like a favorite memory or a good memory?
Let me tell you, I've never had a survival job because I've always just been working as an actor. I'm totally kidding. I've had a couple, but I think the one that is my favorite is after doing All My Children in New York in like 2000, 2001, I moved to LA to start auditioning for movies and TV. And I blew all my money in New York and I had $0. And so I was like, I got to get a survival job. And so I was like, what can I do where I don't have to do a lot of work, but I can make money? And I found FAO Schwartz at the Grove in LA. there was a toy store, the toy store F.E.O. Schwartz, that's in New York, that opened.
Iconic.
They had opened an F.E.O. Schwartz in at the Grove in Los Angeles. And I got a job being the toy soldier that stands out front of F.E.O. Schwartz with red lipstick on my cheeks in circles. And I would hand out stickers and open the door for kids. And so I was the toy soldier at F.A.O. Schwartz.
Iconic.
They couldn't even afford face paint. They made you use lipstick.
No, there was a thing of lipstick, and it was just that thing where you like get to work and you're like, oh damn it, I gotta put on my rosy cheeks. And you have to draw circles, red circles on each of your cheeks and stand out there and open the door and hand out stickers to kids. I mean, it was really fun. Like, it was a fun job. I mean, you have to make so many kids happy, and it was just super fun. And it was funny because one of the first days I was working, a woman came in and looked at me. She goes, aren't you JR from All My Children? And I was like, yes, I am. Yes, I am. Thank you for noticing. And I wore heelys, which are those shoes with the wheels in them. Okay. And so I would like skate around the Grove, and there was a trolley that came through the Grove. And so I would grab the back of the trolley and use my heelys and like be pulled by the trolley around the Grove dressed as the toy soldier and just making a fool of myself because I had to make the time pass. And it was a way that I could get out of the store. I'm like, I'm going to go round up people to come to the store. So I would grab the back of the trolley and like ride it with my wheels and pull people into the store.
That is so fun.
Yeah, it was funny. And here's the weird part. There was two of us. Are you ready for this? I think his name is Todd. I might say his name wrong. Todd, if you're listening, I'm sorry if your name's not Todd. When I was in New York seeing Spamalot for the first time, when I found out I was going to be in it, I went to Bar Central in New York City. The bartender at Bar Central was the other toy soldier with me at F.E.O. Schwartz in L.A. How weird is that? Full circle moment.
That is such a crazy good story. Were you like, Todd, it's me?
Yes, I think his name was Todd. I forgot his name, but he was very kind. And I was like, he's like, wait, do you know how we know each other? And I'm like, I know your face, but I can't put it, like, I can't place it. And he's like, F.A.O. Schwartz. I was like, oh my gosh.
He's came rushing back to you.
Yeah, all the memories flooded back. And I mean, it was a really fun gig. It was a little crunchy because I had already been on a soap opera. So there was like part of me that was like, is it cool that I'm dressed as a toy soldier with roller skates with paint on my face? And then I was like, you know what? Yeah, it is, because I appreciate a hustle. And that's what I love. There's some like I think there's so much respect for so many people that work in, that are performers or work in the industry and are giggers, because we're all gig to gig. And your ego at one point says, oh my gosh, I might feel embarrassed or might feel sad or not so cool that I have to do a survival job in between my gigs. But it's really the opposite. There's so much dignity and respect for people that have survival jobs and do survival jobs in between gigs, because you're hustling. You're here, you're doing it, you're doing your survival job, and then you're going on your auditions and you're finding the time to squeeze that, you know, dance call or in between, you know, being a waiter and working at your job at the gym or whatever it is that you do, you're finding the time to do that. And so many people would just quit and go home. And the fact that you have that survival job and that you're doing it and you're putting the work in, I have so much respect and admiration for people that hustle and get it done, because the alternative is failure. And it's like, as long as you're here and as long as you're willing to like do whatever it is you need to do to keep a roof over your head and food on your table, to be able to go and pursue your dream and go to the auditions and go to the castings and go to the open calls, like, there's nothing more respectful or more admiring than like doing that. Like, that is so powerful, and I just have so much respect for it, because what's the alternative? Go home.
Yeah.
And Yeah. And so the people that do it and have them are beautiful and should be saluted and respected.
Saluted. And that's not a pun to be a toy soldier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
The toy soldier.
This FAO Schwartz toy soldier salutes you.
Salutes you.
Oh, that's so amazing that you said that and so kind. I feel so seen, Jonathan. Yeah. Thank you.
It's true.
So to flip it and reverse it, do you have a survival job from your past that was just like awful? Like, oh my gosh, I'd rather play in traffic than ever go back to that.
Well, no, here's the thing. My other survival job after FAO Schwartz was working at Abercrombie and Fitch at Third Street Promenade in Santa Monica, California. And I was actually working there. I was like the shirtless guy standing out front folding sweaters and like being the greeter and then folding sweaters. So
yeah,
the funny story is when I booked Mean Girls, I was actually at work at Abercrombie standing there with no shirt on. And I went back to the back to my little locker and checked my voicemail because I had a flip phone and there was a voicemail waiting and it was my manager calling me saying, call me back, I have to tell you something. So I call him back on my lunch break and I was like, what's up? And he's like, you booked Mean Girls. I was like, no, I didn't. You told me we didn't get it. He's like, no, there was a change. That, like, you got it and you're flying to Toronto tomorrow. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. I'll call you back after my shift. And then I hung up and then he called me back and he's like, you don't have a shift anymore. You just leave. And I was like, oh, right. I'm done. So I got to have that moment where like in the middle of my lunch break, I just put my shirt back on and went to my manager and I was like, I quit. And I walked out the front door and got on a plane to Toronto.
What an amazing story. Number one. Number two, I'm just gagged that you were like shirtless getting this call.
Yeah, just like shirtless standing there at Abercrombie being like, hey, what's up? Welcome to Abercrombie. You want some Fierce Cologne? And I was like spraying Fierce Cologne on everyone. Like that was my gig when I booked Mean Girls and I looked exactly like Aaron Samuels because that was like the haircut at the time. And I was just standing in front and it was a very funny moment in life.
I love that story so much.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
So speaking of Aaron Samuels, you know, we're in our pink. We're repping. We all love that movie and Mean Girls so much. You're making your Broadway debut in Spamalot. And by the way, the video of you telling your husband, I mean, my like Broadway gays group chats were like exploding. So was the goal and dream always Broadway or did you just want it? Oh, amazing. Can you tell us about that a little bit?
The dream has always been Broadway. That's why I moved to New York City. Moved to New York City to be on Broadway and to pursue a career in that. And ended up booking a soap opera because I was like this pretty little twink that like was just like all lips and eyes and like was this little thing. And it looked really good on television and on a soap opera. Like my look fit into that soap opera world. And so I ended up booking all my children and did that for a couple years and worked on that. And then when that was done, because it was TV and I kind of looked the way I did, my agents and them were like, we get you want to be on Broadway, but you should really move to LA because I think you're going to work in movies. And so I put that dream of Broadway on hold and went to LA and then got Mean Girls and then everything just kind of started snowballing from that. But for the past 20 years, my my heart and my like itch to scratch has always been like Broadway stage. Like I want to be on there. I want to do it. Like you can tell from my Instagram how much of a musical theater nerd I am. Like I'm obsessed. And so I never really thought it would ever happen because I'm like, well, you know, I'm older now. And like, I don't know how I would even break onto the scene abroad. Like how I would have to move like so much. I don't know how this would be able to possibly happen. So I kind of just like accept that I'm going to be a theater fan and probably never be in theater, and that's okay. And so I randomly got a phone call a couple days before Christmas from my agent. And she was like, you're never going to believe this. And I was like, what? She goes, they want you to come do Spamalot. And I was like, no, that's not real. Like, come on. That can't be a real thing. And she's like, no, it's real. And so a couple hours later, I was on a Zoom with Josh Rhodes, the director, and we were running lines and I like doing an audition on Zoom, and it happened. And then I got the call that the deal was closed and that was official on Christmas Eve. And wow. It was the best Christmas Eve ever. And then the day after Christmas, I was flying to New York to host Times Square New Year's Eve, because I always fly on the 26th to host the show. And so on Christmas Day, everyone's posting videos of like, oh, spending time with loved ones on Christmas and like all these things. And me and my husband are like frantically running around the house, packing our life up for 4 months, going, what do we need to take? And it was like the most chaotic Christmas ever, like just absolute mayhem. Like, what do we need clothes? How much, where are we going to live? We don't, like, we knew nothing. We just knew like we had to get on a plane for New Year's Eve. Once we got there, we're there for the show. And so it happened literally on Christmas Eve, and we packed the next day and we're here the day after.
You finally booked Broadway. Congrats. I love that was always the end goal, and you have this amazing career and you finally got here.
Yeah.
Do you remember like your first memory as a child of like wanting to be an actor?
Yes.
Like,
you know what that was? I've always wanted to be in shows. I always wanted to be on show in musicals and things like that. Like I always wanted to be an actor. But when I was in seventh grade, I saw my first live musical. And that was Anything Goes at my high school. My mom took me to see it.
That was my first show too.
Really?
Yeah.
And my mom, it's such a musical, right? It's like,
yeah, Reno Sweeney.
Yeah. And I remember like watching everyone sing and dance and tap dance and do everything. And I just like remember grabbing my mom's leg and going, what is this? How do I do it? And it was, I went and I made her buy me tickets. I went to every performance and watched it. And then we got this, the high school would sell the VHS recordings of it. And it was fluorescent yellow because it was like 1995.
Wow.
And so we got the VHS and I wore that tape out and I watched it every single day, all day long, trying to learn the choreography and like see how they did everything. And that was like when I got bit by the theater bug and was like, that's what I want to do.
That's iconic.
Isn't that fun?
That is so fun and so fun. Well, next question. The Spamalot cast is literally filled with Broadway icons. And we've heard stories of you being welcomed in by like Alex Brightman doing like a full Mean Girls monologue mid-show, and the cast dressing up in like Mean Girls attire during rehearsals. Can you describe what it feels like to be so accepted and so welcomed? And was it a little bit nerve-wracking?
Let's talk about the Spamalot cast, first of all.
Yeah.
When you're making your Broadway debut, you're not just making your Broadway debut in a show. You're making a Broadway debut as a principal actor standing next to the principals that are Alex Brightman, James Monroe, Leslie Kritzer, Chris Fitzgerald, Jimmy Spagula, who am I forgetting? Nick Walker.
Nick Christopher, yeah.
I mean, like, Ethan Slater. Like, what? You're lucky if you get one or two of them in a show. You have seven of the best of the best of the best of the best that do what they do better than anyone. And so to, like, stand on stage, it was a little nerve-wracking because I was like, pretty sure most of the people on this stage have either been nominated or won Tonys. and I'm just going to be with them acting. And I couldn't have been more welcomed or accepted or just like excited. Like, it was just, everyone was so warm and welcoming, and they were like, anything you need, we got you. And, you know, after your first week of doing shows, you just blend right in and click right in with Broadway legends. And I mean, Alex Brightman is such an icon, and does the best part about Spamalot is there are other shows on Broadway that are just as good as Spamalot, but there are zero shows on Broadway that have the thing that is as special that Spamalot has. And that's because when you put this many icons together and you give them, people like Alex Brightman, free range to say whatever he wants every night, you never know what you're going to get. And it's like lightning in a bottle. Like, there's this kinetic energy in the theater that's like, what's Alex going to say for the monologue? What's he going to say? And the other night, he looked at me before we went on stage and he goes, I got a little surprise for you. And I was like, okay, what's this going to be? Buckle up. And he during the Knights of Knee, decided to quote the entire Calteen bar scene from Mean Girls. And the crowd just went insane. And I broke and started laughing, and the crowd went nuts. And then James's job is to quote the monologue back to him, because that's how the bit works.
The bit goes, yeah.
And James looked at him and goes, sorry, never seen the movie. And then the crowd went crazy. And then James just leaned forward and looked at me and goes, sorry. And it was this great moment where, like, that's why we go see Spamalot. That's why we go see this show, because you never know what's going to happen. Every show is completely different. It's all a new experience. And it's just, there's nothing like it on Broadway. There's just nothing that is this, like, kinetic energy vibrating, right? I mean, other shows are great and they're fun, and there's so many great shows, but this just has a thing you can't explain. And until you see it, you don't get it. You're like, oh, right. Yeah, you can't explain why. It's just different, but it's just different.
It's so good. So magic. Speaking of, like, an iconic cast, Michael Urie had this role before you did. Were you friends with him prior? And how was the transition over? Did he help?
Yes, I never had met Michael, and I've always been a fan. And he, when I booked the job, the first person to text me was Michael Urie. And he said, it's Michael. I'm so excited you're going to get to do this. It's the best time of your life. What can I do to help? What do you need? No questions too stupid. Ask away. I'm here to help. And then he took me backstage, and after, when I went to see the show for the first time, and went and introduced me to everybody. And I was just like, Michael, you are such a class act. Like, you are such a class act human being that shows your character of, like, he cares so much about the show. He cares so much about this production that he's willing to, like, take me out to dinner and teach me the ropes before I even, because I was like, I don't know how a rehearsal for Broadway works. How many times do I get to do it? And so he walked me through everything, told me all the tips and tricks for, like, the quick changes, and just a class act. He's, you know, a national treasure, really.
Literally. He's the best.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
So you're no stranger to the big screen, and now you're immersing yourself in Broadway. Plus, you've been a TV personality. You've hosted. Mm-hmm. We had your own podcast, Pridecast, it was called.
Yeah.
Do you have a preference between performing live versus on camera? And can you share a couple tips between shifting your acting from the big screen to the big white way?
Yeah. So I'm a lot. I have a lot of energy, and I'm a lot as a human. And when I'm doing film and TV, 9 times out of 10, I get the note of, okay, that's great, but just, you know, bring it in a little. Like, you know, do that. You can do it, but, like, you're at a 10. We need you at, like, a 2. And I'm like, oh, fine, okay. And so, because my gut reaction and my like instinct is to be like as big as possible and blah. And so coming to Spamalot of all shows, they're like, I would do, you know, they're like, do what you, yeah, do that, but add 10 more things to it. And so you're, it's like heaven for me that it's like, not only do I have to not condense, but I can add two more things to that bit and still be good to do it on stage. Like, yeah. So it's just, yeah. It's just so freeing to like be able to be as big and as quirky and wild as you want to be. And you can do it 8 nights a week and it's, and there's no rules. So yeah. It's really fun. And I love TV and film, but I'm hooked on live musical theater and I will definitely be doing more of it because when you're standing on stage at the St. James and you know, you sit into your hip and deliver a line and 1700 people laugh. How can you beat that? Like, you're like, yep, well, I'm hooked. Yeah. It's just the best feeling in the world. And I also think it's really interesting that like, I get to try as a, you know, doing a lot of comedies for film and TV, like you don't get to know if the gags you're doing or the jokes you're doing land and work. You think they do when you watch the edit, but you don't ever get to hear the audience's response to it because they're watching at home. So what's been really great about this has been, it's helped me trust that I know what I'm doing when it comes to comedy and bits and shtick. Cause I'm like, oh, when I do this shtick, 1,000 people laugh at it. So that's something I'm going to steal. Okay. I know that works. Put it in your pocket for a movie. Oh, okay. I know this type of character or this type of bit works. Put it in your pocket because you're kind of testing in front of a live audience what works and what doesn't. And so every night I'm just pulling little things and putting it in my memory of like, okay, that'll get a laugh. Even if I do it on film, it'll get a laugh.
So yeah, I was going to say that Samantha and I feel like, I don't want to speak for you, Sam, but I guess I kind of will. We both admire that you have been able to do television and film and Broadway now, and you host. You host shows and you do red carpets and you have your own podcast. So how do you wear so many different hats?
I never sleep and I'm always tired. It's like the hustle is real. And like for example, today I'm coming to you from Equinox, the gym, because I wanted to make sure I was able to work out. And the only window I have to work out is from 3 to 4 today, but I have 4 podcast interviews to do this morning. And then I have an hour to work out. And then I have calls for Hallmark for our new TV shows and our new movies that we're doing. I have calls with the network at 4:30. So I was like, the only time I have is from 3 to 4 to work out, but I can't do my podcast interviews from 1 to 2:30. And then have time to walk to the gym in 10 minutes. So I came to the gym, borrowed one of the offices, set up my laptop, and here I am doing interviews here. So that way I have an hour to work out to then start calls with Hallmark after this to make it all happen. And I think, I mean, if you want to succeed, if you want, like, empires don't build themselves. Mm. You just have to put in the work and you have to be relentless with the work. Like when you have a job, what are your next 10 jobs? Are they lined up yet? And that's the key, I think, to success and to longevity. Is a lot of people will just be like happy to be in the job. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, no. When you're in the job is when you get your next job. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly how you keep them rolling.
By the way, like, you are our perfect survival jobs guest, from those stories of the hustle to like this prime
being
example.
In the hustle.
Yeah, like no matter where you are in your career or your life, there's always something more to do. There's another job to get. And that is sort of the theme of this show. You said you're always tired, you never sleep. That's Jason and I. And we're like juggling survival jobs, this show, audition, all of it. And so it's really the theme and like sort of why we created this show. So thank you for being like,
yeah, the overnight success takes 10 years. And like, there's never a moment where you've made it.
Totally.
You will never make it because that idea is gone because there's too much content. There's too many people now that used to be 20 years ago. Like, once I book this movie, I'll be fine because then I'll just always get stuff. You never make it anymore. You're always hustling. There's never just like a, I've done it. Mm-hmm. Like, it just is gone. So
yeah, so you sort of have already answered this question, but we have a lot of listeners who are in their survival jobs, struggling, hustling, mm-hmm. wanting a career as an artist. And you just did give so much great advice, but do you have any specific advice?
Yeah, sure. First of all, don't ever think you're too old to make it in the industry in any capacity. I'm 42 years old and I never in a million years thought I'd be on Broadway, and here I am on Broadway. So
yes, you are.
It's my first job. It's my first musical theater job I've had in 25 years. And it's on Broadway. So it's never too late. And I think that's what you need to remember. Like, it's never too late for it to happen. It just takes that right thing that all line up perfectly for you to get the job.
Love that. Boom. So one last question before we play our very fun game to end this interview. It goes by so fast. I want to talk to you for like another hour, but you have a busy ass schedule. So
I don't have time.
Exactly. So you've done soaps, you've done film, TV, you had a groundbreaking role in it was the first LGBTQ led Hallmark Christmas movie. And I think I heard you call yourself in an interview, the gay king of Christmas.
Yes.
I was dying. Do you have a dream role or collaboration you'd like to manifest with us? Because Samantha and I are big manifestors.
I would like one day to bring musical theater to Hallmark.
Ooh.
Oh, okay.
I think there's some sort of thing to be done with music and Hallmark. I don't know what it is, but there's something to be done there with Christmas and music. And I think there's some fun collaboration to be had.
Can you bring back a variety show or something?
There's something to be done, and I'm trying to put my finger on what it is exactly, but I think there's a fun way to incorporate music and Christmas in some really fun kind of out of the box way.
You have to meet one of our good friends who was also a guest on the show. Crystal Joy Brown is in Merrily right now, and she does a lot of Hallmark too. So you guys should team up and like make it happen.
There you go.
Hallmark musical theater crossover.
Yeah, so Jonathan, the
coach. Yeah, the coach. She was a coach. That was her survival job, coaching kids in gymnastics.
Yeah.
Like I said, you were such an amazing survival jobs guest. Thank you, thank you, thank you during your busy, busy day for carving out some time for us. Jason and I were thrilled to know that we were going to be able to interview you. So thank you, thank you, thank you.
This is for our season 3 opener. That's incredible.
Season 3 opener.
Thank you.
Boom.
Thanks for having me.
Yes, of course. So we always like to end the show with a quick fun game.
Let's go.
Like, we talk a lot and we just want to keep it light.
Let's go.
So I don't know. Last I heard in an interview, you have not yet seen the Mean Girls musical movie. Okay. So we'll see what happens. This game is called Movie or Musical. We're going to read you quotes or lines from the OG Mean Girls or the musical, and you'll tell us.
Go ahead. I hope I get it because I was there.
You sure were.
Yes.
All right. You sure were there. Jay, you want to kick it off?
Yeah. First quote is, "My name is Regina George, and I'm a massive deal. Fear me,
musical.
Love me."
Boom.
Wow, one for correct. One so far.
Number two, "My parents got me this really expensive pair of white gold hoops, and I had to pretend like I didn't even like them, and it was
movie.
So sad." Correct.
"Gretchen told me you like Aaron Samuels. I mean, I don't care. Do whatever you want, but let me just tell you something about Aaron. All he cares about is school and his mom
movie.
And his friends."
Correct.
Damn.
Next. "If I could change the world, I'd make us have world peace."
Musical.
Correct.
Last one before the bonus that you don't need. "Somebody wrote in that book that I'm lying about being a virgin because I use super jumbo tampons, but I can't help it."
Correct.
"I got a heavy flow."
Yes. All right, and here's the bonus. Even though you have a perfect score, we'll just make it even more perfect.
Yeah, great.
"On behalf of the senior class, I'd like to present you with two gift certificates. One gift certificate to the Walker Brothers Pancake House."
Actually, let me fix this for you. Senior class, I'd like to present you with two gift certificates to the one gift certificate to the Walker Brothers Pancake House.
Yes.
Iconic.
That was me.
It was you. And you aced the game. So congratulations.
All you have to do to play Aaron Samuels.
What was that?
All you have to do to play Aaron Samuels, squint your eyes a little and give just a half a smirk.
Perfect. Hello, anyone listening who wants to play Aaron Samuels, take the tip from the OG himself.
The only. No, I'm just kidding.
The only.
I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
This is amazing. Before we end, can you please let our listeners know where they can follow you and keep up with everything?
Yes. I'm old and elderly, so just follow me on Instagram like a normal person, Jonathan D. Bennett.
And if you're tuning in because you're a Jonathan fan and you don't follow us yet, follow us at Survival Jobs, a podcast on Twitter and Facebook. Follow us at Survival Jobs Pod on Instagram. Shoot us an email at survivaljobspod@gmail.com. I'm Sammy Toots, and follow my boy, Jason A. Coombs. Jonathan. Oh, and by the way, everyone, get tickets, run to the St. James, go see Jonathan and Spamalot. It is such a fun night. We have to come see you now. We saw, yes. We didn't see
come
you yet, and we will be there.
Come see us.
Yeah, maybe we will. Maybe you'll catch us.
Amazing.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org. Because only together we rise.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.